You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Natalie Kerry, Gary Capewell and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's the first day of the Sprint Cup Festival at Haydock. A good card at Salisbury as well. A bit of jumping from Sedgefield, that's the afternoon lineup. Chelmsford City on the all-weather poly track in the evening. And racing over in Ireland from Clonmel. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by James Millman. How are you, James?
Pretty good, thank you, Mark.
Good. We'll start with a bit of news, as we usually do, and then we'll move on to Thursday's racing. And we'll start with the story that's still dominating the front pages. Hayley Turner's decision to quit riding at the end of the season, James. Was it a surprise to you?
Yeah, definitely a surprise. I didn't really expect that as such. Hayley's obviously probably not hit the heights of what she did back in 2011 after that fall. She had, it's been a tough for her to come back. Gone freelance, obviously not with Michael Bell anymore, but I thought this season was looking on the up for her. Some good opportunities, riding well, and I'm slightly surprised, but like you said, she's 32, I think she wants to explore other job options, and I think it's the right thing to do. Racing is a 24/7 job, like she says when she cited, there is no social life, there is racing and that is it, and like a lot of other sports where yes, you're busy training most days, but like say football, you probably play twice a week, and you've got the rest of it to your family, to yourself, to basically do what you kind of please. Whereas racing is 7 days a week, and you're literally up at 5 o'clock in the morning, riding work, trainers, off to an afternoon meeting, then off to an evening meeting. You get in at about 11, 12 o'clock, watch your replays, see what's happened with the day's action, and start again the next day at 6 o'clock. You can't plan anything. You can't, let's say, go plan meals and stuff because generally you don't know what you're going to be riding until 48 hours before. Holidays, you get holidays when you're injured. You might possibly get one at the back end of the season, but especially with the all-weather now, flat jockeys are riding 52 weeks of the year. So, like I say, racing it appears all glamorous and being a jockey, a lot of people probably think it's quite easy, but it's actually a very time-consuming part of the job. And actually sitting on the horses at the racetrack is probably the smallest part of it. It's what everyone sees, but it's all the behind the scenes stuff, and I can fully understand why Hayley wants to retire. And like I say, I retired at 25, so I lasted even less and had none of her kind of success, but like I say, hopefully she has a lot of luck in her future career.
I mean, it sounds like a nightmare there, James.
It is a tough job.
Yeah,
it's not and that's dieting as well. Hayley didn't have too much issues with her weight. She could obviously do light weights quite easily, but it's not a normal job, and sometimes it's quite nice to have a 9 till 5 existence as such, and you can plan what you're doing. But like I say, I can totally emphasise with why she's retiring.
All right, interesting thoughts there. Being a retired jockey yourself, one of the quotes from Hayley is that it just came to me that I should stop now. Was it kind of the same with yourself? When do you make the decision?
To be fair, a little bit similar. She said in June she felt that the time was right for me. It was probably a couple of months before the end of the season. Obviously, I was more heavily involved with my dad's stable as such. And we went from about 60 horses down to about 30, purely due to the economic recession that was hitting. Owners weren't investing in new horses. Fortunately, one of our leading owner breeders, unfortunately, she passed away, and that meant 8 horses had to go to the sales. And I just felt that at 25, I was still young enough to retrain in another industry, and I probably rode on for a couple months more after I kind of told all the owners and my dad and stuff that I was retiring. I kept on going till end of 2012. Luckily enough, I was able to ride a winner on my last ride, which was good. But
you've not mentioned that before.
No. I think a few of the top jockeys didn't manage to achieve, so that puts me in a slightly exalted company, maybe. But AP McCoy beat at Sandown, Hughesy beat at Goodwood. I won a very bad maiden at Lingfield. But that was great to go out on a winner, and I'm sure Hayley will be keen to do the same. But I think if she's retiring on the final day of the turf season at Doncaster, November Handicap Day, it won't be easy. But like I say, it's not an easy decision to make, especially a jockey that's had such success as Hayley. But hopefully, like I say, I wish her all the well in a new career.
Yeah. If Hayley's listening, I'm sure she is. I'm sure she tunes into the William Hill Racing podcast. What advice would you give her now then on a new chapter in her career?
Yeah, don't rush. Take your time. I think she's kind of planning to do a bit of punditry for ATR. Wishing maybe I'm a Celebrity, stuff like that. And like I say, I think you ought to take up all the opportunities you get given. And like I say, personally, I definitely wouldn't want to do that kind of thing, but certainly would increase her profile outside of racing and increase her media profile.
I'd quite like to see you in the jungle.
I think
it'd only be a matter of time before you just snapped and went nuts.
I think I would need to see the psychiatrist there or whatever quite a lot, especially dealing with the other celebrities in inverted brackets. But I definitely wouldn't want to do the trials either. Eating some of that stuff is not a pleasant thought.
No, it's not. Let's talk about some racing, shall we? Glenn Eagles, apparently he could be going to the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
And does that signify the fact that American Pharaoh, who Cornwall have the breeding rights to, do they kind of know that he might well be retired after that Travers defeat at the weekend? Brave decision for not wanting to run him on a surface which is deemed unsuitable all turf season. And they're now going to try a bit of dirt action. So that will be interesting. But obviously, if he can perform on dirt, that will massively increase his stallion potential, because it would open him up to a lot more American breeders. And if he doesn't handle it, they lose nothing because he's not expected to.
Yep.
So that would be interesting. He's a very classy horse. And generally, the O'Brien team, Bayatoa, when they've been running horses on dirt, they've been got a lot better gait speed. And they've been training them specifically for it a lot more effectively than when... I think a few years ago it was kind of a bit of an afterthought. They would head to the dirt and basically miss the break by a couple of lengths and never ever got involved. But recently they've been breaking a lot better, and interesting to see how he gets on. It'd be great to see. Hopefully we see him in the Irish Champion Stakes first, see him against the older horses, see him confirm that he's in top form. But it could be an interesting option.
Yeah, I hope he does go to the Irish Champion, because I'm there that day.
You're, oh, another holiday for you.
Glen Eagles,
is that part of the Laytown trip?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Extended break.
Yep, Laytown, Down Royal, and Leopardstown.
Enjoy.
Thanks. A bit more racing news. It's the start of the Haydock Sprint Cup meeting. Mm-hmm. So we'll just take a quick look back, quick look ahead rather, to the feature race of the week, the Sprint Cup itself. Adair is the 6-1 market leader, 8-1 for Danzino and Gordon Lord Byron, 8-1 also for Limato and Matt Moo, 10s for Magical Memory and Twilight Sun. 12-1 for G-Force and Wadi, and 14s or bigger for the others. Frankie Dettori, news in the paper today that he's going to stick with Danzino.
Yeah, Mick Appleby booked Frankie for Danzino, and the market says it all. It's a very, very open Group 1 contest, and we need to have a little bit of weather watch to see what the ground's actually going to be in 3 days' time. But the one I like at those prices is Matt Moo, who I thought ran an absolute cracker. Yeah, last time out, he loves a bit of ease in the ground. He's a really progressive three-year-old for the Easterby team. And in a really open sprint, he would be the one for me. Magical Memory, obviously the Stewards' Cup winner, stepping up into Group 1 company. Really impressive in that Stewards' Cup. He's certainly very progressive as well. But I just think Matt Moo, solid form in this grade. He could be the one to pick up the pieces. But a really, really open Group 1 sprint.
Yeah, that's coming up on Saturday. The festival starts on Thursday, and we're going to get James's thoughts in three races on the first card. We've also got a race at Salisbury as well, Group 3 to look forward to there. So we'll get James's thoughts in those races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, what we'll do is we'll go through these in meeting order. So we'll start with the three at Haydock, and then we'll move on to the one at Salisbury. The 3:35 at Haydock is where we start. This is a class 4 handicap. It's over a mile, and it's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 13 here. It's going to be a nice, quite an open betting heat this, James. So who would you side with in there?
Yeah, obviously we've got to start with the Godolphin representative, Second Wave, a son of New Approach. He's actually had a pretty low-key start to his career. His Chai Appleby sent him to Redcar for his first two outings. He won his maiden by a neck at the back end of September as a 2-year-old, and then he reappeared in April at the red car track and won quite nicely off just a mark of 72, which for a Godolphin horse is a pretty limited rating. And they ran him pretty quickly under a 6-1 penalty 5 days later, and he was a little bit disappointing when a beaten 2-1 favourite at Nottingham, but he still finished third of 11, and the fact that he's been off the track for 138 days suggests that something might have been amiss. Market's going to be key for this horse tomorrow. If he's well supported in the morning, you know he's coming back in peak fitness after 138 days off the track. If he's weak, he might just need a little bit, because I think 79 is a very, very fair handicap mark, and he's open to a lot of improvement. So he is the key to the race, because generally his opposition are pretty exposed. Probably the exception would be Brasted, a three-year-old trained by Ian Williams. He's had the three runs in maidens, first run in a handicap off the mark of 72. Probably not the most lenient handicap mark he could have been given. Race and post ratings rate him 66 and his official mark of 72. But he's interesting for Ian Williams. Keep an eye on the market. Again, another yard which the market is generally pretty key. But the one I'm going to go for as my selection will be the bottom weight, Normandy Knight, who has been very consistent for Richard Fahey. He's a three-year-old in form. Won races at Leicester and Beverley in June and July and was a good second behind Dark Crystal last time out. Sneaks in here at the bottom of the weights, and I think he could be interesting for the very much in-form Richard Fahey team. So Normandy Knight will be the selection, although second wave is certainly a very dangerous opponent for the Godolphin team.
The 405 at Haydock Park is where we go next. This one is a Class 3 condition stakes. It's over 7 furlongs and it's for 3-year-olds and older. 8 of them in the lineup here, James. I suppose the interesting one is Richard Pankhurst there, who's making a return from 439 days off the track. Was last seen winning the Chesham at Royal Ascot. So pretty useful form if he's back to full fitness.
Yeah, definitely. Very, very interesting contest. He rated 116 is Richard Pankhurst for John Gosden and Willie Bjork. He's been declared to run for a couple of races in the last couple of weeks. He was at the York Ebor meeting, but he was pulled out because of the ground and went against him. And he was highly touted as a potential Guineas hope at the start of the year, working very, very well. And like you say, with a mark of 116, he was one of the better 2-year-olds last year, despite the fact he wasn't seen after the Chesham. It does mean he's been off the track for 439 days. And the fact he starts off in a conditions race suggests that connections don't want to step him in to the deep end too soon. It'll be a nice comeback for him. And it will be interesting to see how he gets on. It's hard to be confident about him from a betting point of view, because quite simply, we don't know what kind of form he's going to be coming into after that long layoff. But he's been short in the market when he's been declared for his two races this year. So I suggest he remains in good form on the new market gallops. But probably looking at the other opposition, Dark Emerald has been a real credit to the Brendan Powell team. He had a cracking spell in Dubai, winning twice in Maidan and finishing second twice, racked up a lot of prize money for his owners. And he's not been disgraced back in Europe this year. He was fourth in the Curra behind Home of the Brave, and then second to Cody Bear at Salisbury, ahead of a lot of decent horses in the Group 3 Sovereign Stakes. Cody Bear obviously boosted that by winning the Celebration Mile at Goodwood on Saturday. And he's certainly going to be dangerous, but giving weight away won't be easy for Dark Emerald. It may pay to keep an eye on the three-year-olds. Winfast is interesting for Brian Meenan. He won a handicap off 107 at Newbury on his return. That was a really, really decent effort before being a little bit disappointing in the Hungerford Stakes last time out. He's rated 111, and he's certainly worth that rating, having won a handicap off 107. But it does remain to be seen if he can back up from a disappointing run last time. So probably the one we're going to have to stick with is Make It Up for Andrew Boulding and Paul Hannigan. This Halling colt has proven very progressive. Won on debut at Epsom and then a novice race at Goodwood as a two-year-old. And he's not done too bad at three. He was second on his return at Epsom at the Derby meeting off a mark of 97. Disappointed in the Britannia, but back in form and winning at Chester last time out. He's rated 104. Realistically, he probably isn't going to be in the class of Richard Pankhurst, but I just think he's in form and he could pick up the pieces if somebody else disappoint. And as long as you have the eight runners, which hopefully it happens, it could be a nice each way bet.
Make It Up each way for James then in the 405. The 440 at Haydock is next up. This is a Class 2 handicap over almost a mile and a half. It's for 3-year-olds and older, field of 80 as well. Who would you like in there, James? I thought this was a little bit tricky.
Yeah, definitely a tricky contest. The key one for me could be the 3-year-old at the bottom of the weights, getting a nice hefty weight allowance of £9 in. That is Salaria's Mass, who won his debut at a Ripon, beating the useful Decorated Knight last at Ripon. A little bit disappointing on his second start because I think he was expected to do a little bit better. But it was a really strong contest when he finished in fifth at Newmarket behind Memorial Day. It's always tough, I think, for a horse that wins maiden first time out because they're put straight against experienced horses on just their second start, and sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming for them. So I'll forgive Salaria's miss for that run, and off a mark of 87, I think this Mount Nelson individual could be the one to be with off just 8 stone 4. Of the others, Chancery is a decent older horse for David O'Mara. He won 2 starts back and wasn't disgraced when fourth last time out. He sets a standard. That was a good fourth at York behind Memorial Day off a mark of 96. He's £4 higher today, but Germany is very consistent. Master Finance, he's always there or thereabouts, but Hanekapper could have got hold of him. In Penhills, it's been a little bit disappointing for Luca Kamani. Often backed his 4 starts this year. He's gone off favourite on 3 of them. Was 2-1 when beaten at Pontefract last time. It's just been a little bit disappointing having been purchased for a lot of money from the James Bethel Yard. Luca Kamani perhaps hasn't improved him as much as people anticipated. And it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. But I'm going to take a chance on the Johnson horse at the bottom of the rates, Salarius Mass.
And we'll move to Salisbury for the final race. We'll look at this one as the 3:45, and it's the Dick Poole Filly Stakes, a Group 3 contest over 6 furlongs. It's for the 2-year-olds and some potentially nice 2-year-olds in there, James. Plenty of winning form in there.
Just 8 runners, but 8 decent fillies go for the Group 3 at Salisbury. And Mayfair Lady was extremely impressive when winning at York. It was a really strong competitive nursery. It was only off a mark of 87, but she absolutely destroyed the opposition, winning by 5 lengths, showing tons of speed. And if that wasn't a fluke, I think she could be a really, really decent individual. And she is the one that I'm going to be sticking with. I was seriously impressed, despite the fact Jack Garrity cannot claim in this Group 3 event. I still think Mayfair Lady could be one to follow. What do I want that for? It's a decent horse for Richard Hannon. Won a similar contest at Newbury, where That's All I'm Saying was second. I think that she's got every chance. Just come up short when running in Group 3 company at Ascot behind Bashara. But I'll say, back in Lister company, she was successful at Newbury and holds quite a few of these runners. But I do think she needs to improve again to tackle Mayfair Lady. Interesting one could be La Riaca for Hemi Candy and Andrea at Zany. The Qatar race individual won nicely by 5 lengths at Newbury in July. And although she's got to improve again, she could be a very, very decent individual. So, section will be Mayfair Lady in this Group 3 at Salisbury, with La Riaca the main danger.
Good work. Thank you very much, James. Let's just have a quick summary before you go, as usual.
Yeah, in the 3:15 at Haydock, we are taking a chance on the bottom weight, Normandy Knight. The 3-year-old has been very consistent for Richard Fahey. In the 4:05, we see Richard Pankhurst make a return to track after 439 days absence. But he could be a bit of a short price for one, having had such a long layoff. And I'm going to take a chance on the inform, Make It Up for Andrew Balding and Paul Hannigan. And then the 4:40 at Haydock, we're going to go for the 3-year-old Salarius Mass for Mark Johnson and Adrian Nichols. And then finally, in the Group 3 at Salisbury, the highlight of the day, the Dick Poole Filly Stakes, I've gone for Mayfair Lady to follow up her York success for Richard Fahey and Jack Garrity.
Superb. Thank you very much, James. Good luck, and enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you very much.
So there you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. Natalie Kerry, Gary Capewell and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. It's Haydock, Salisbury and Sedgefield on Thursday afternoon, Chelmsford City and Clonmel will provide the action in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.